Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Shall we pray? Father, we are thankful to you for tonight, for another opportunity to be in your presence. It's something that we do not want to take for granted at all. In your presence, there is liberty. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And when we meet with you like this and have an encounter with you, it gives rise to all sorts of blessings in our lives. I want to thank you for those physically present here, but I also want to thank you for those who are watching online. I can't see them at this time, but you can. And Holy Spirit, touch each and every one of us. May we be blessed tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say, Amen. God bless you. And thank you very much for being a part of our Times of Impartation service. This is our midweek service, and it is essentially a teaching service. Now, last week, Wednesday, I started a new series, which I titled Profitable Unto the Master. Profitable Unto the Master. And I want to continue from where I left off, but I'd like us to read a couple of scriptures to set a biblical tone to what we are about to receive from the Spirit of God tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading verse 9 to 11 from the King James Version of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. This is a message from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, his son in the ministry. Then he says, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Take note of that. He is profitable to me for the ministry. And then in Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, if you look at other versions of the Bible, in place of the word profitable, you see helpful, very helpful. You will also see useful. So it means one and the same thing. Now look with me at Matthew chapter 25, and let's read from verse 29 of Matthew 25. We want to read verse 29 to 30. Now, this is the concluding part to the parable of the talents. And what I'm about to read to you had to do with the third servant in that parable who was given one talent and did absolutely nothing with it. Well, he did something with it. He went to bury it. All right. The Bible says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. This is one of the realities of life, that usually if you do well with what you've been entrusted with, it leads to your promotion and to your elevation. This is something that many people have not grasped And they don't realize that it pays to do your very best with what you have been assigned or with what you've been entrusted to. I watch with amazement people who have certain responsibilities, especially in the house of God. And I watch how they treat it lightly. And I shake my head in my head, because I realize that such people are not likely to experience any divine promotion or elevation. And when things are not working well in their lives, they are quick to blame somebody else for it. But the real reason behind their lack of progress, the real reason why they are not promoted and they are not doing well in life, is because of a very bad attitude that they display towards the things of God, towards responsibilities that they are entrusted with. Now, I'm saying this with special reference to responsibilities that we may have in the house of God. But it is also true with secular things. Anybody who does his best with what you are given, whatever task or responsibility you are assigned, you will experience a lifting up and a promotion in your life. From today, my prayer for you is that your attitude towards work, towards responsibilities that you are given, will change for the better, so that you can experience the lifting up and the promotion of the Lord. Did somebody say amen to that? It continues and says, but from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Then it says something very shocking. It says, now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here, the Lord and the master in this parable describes the servant, the third servant, the one who was given one talent, who did nothing with it. He described him as a useless servant. So in the scriptures that I've read, two people who were expected to render a service are described. The first person we see was John Mark. Paul sends a message to Timothy that you are coming to see me very soon. But please, when you are coming, bring John Mark with you. I need him. There's a service that he can render to me. And then he goes ahead and describes him as profitable. Everybody say profitable. The other person who was supposed to render a service, we read about in Matthew 25. Now, he was described as useless. So one person was seen as profitable, and another person was described as useless. Profitable, I explained to you last week, was translated from the Greek word eukrestos, which means many different things. It means useful, easy to make use of, helpful, assisting, beneficial, effective, productive, fruitful, serviceable, and valuable. If you are profitable, all of these words can be used in reference to you. And that's what it means to be profitable. But the opposite of being profitable is to be unprofitable. It means to be disadvantageous. And in very extreme cases of unprofitability, it means to be useless. That's the opposite of being profitable. And I gave you this illustration last week of a cat I had some time ago when I was growing up that I saw as a useless cat. It was a family cat. The reason why we had that cat was it was supposed to kill mice. We had a lot of them in the house. But even though we had this cat that was supposed to serve a purpose to deal with the mice rather multiplied and they increased and they kept eating our stuff. And I told you that one of my brothers insisted that this cat had connived with the mice and were doing us evil. You know? It was a useless cat as far as we were concerned. You know? So when, you know, somebody takes you on and gives you a responsibility and gives you work to do, the expectation of the one who hired you is that you will be profitable unto him. And ladies and gentlemen, we have been called by God, saved by him, and he's expecting us to serve him. We've been saved to save, but we've been saved also to serve. And the Lord Jesus, he's our Lord, he is our Savior, but he's also our Master. And as our Master, his expectation of us is that we will be profitable to him. Everybody say profitable again. Now, to be profitable unto our Master, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are certain things that we must understand clearly. The first one is that you can distinguish between Christians in the area of profitability. There are those who are useful and profitable, and there are those who are not. So if you take a church like ours, you can split the church along the lines of profitability. There are those who are profitable. And remember what it means to be profitable. They are useful. They are helpful. They are assisting. They are beneficial. They are effective, productive, fruitful, serviceable, valuable. There are those who are like that in every church. But there are also those who are none of the above. They are not useful. They are not helpful. They don't assist with anything. They are not effective in what they do. They are not beneficial. They are not productive. They are not fruitful. They are not serviceable. And I hate to say it, they are not valuable. So in every church, you can find these two groups of people. That's the first thing you must understand. The second thing is that our Master has an expectation of us that we will be useful and profitable to him. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has an expectation of us that we will be useful and profitable to him. And he has every right to have such an expectation because he purchased us at great cost. He paid not an ordinary price to save you and I. So why would he not have an expectation that we will be useful to him and that will be profitable unto him? Hallelujah. And not just that, but there is so much that he has placed in every child of his. Every believer and every Christian has great abilities placed in him or her. You have gifts. You have talents. You have things that you can do. And the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and descends from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1, 17. So there is no child of God who doesn't have a gift. or an ability. And because of all that God has placed in us, he has an expectation that we will use those giftings, those abilities, in certain cases, those resources that he's given to us to enhance his work and to advance his kingdom. So I share the story with you in Luke 13, where Jesus told the story of a man who planted a fig tree in his garden, and he came again and again to see if he would find fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. Why was he disappointed? Because he had expectation that I have planted you, Mr. Fig Tree, and the least you can do for me is to bear fruits. But every time he came, he found none. So he gave an instruction that cut it down. It was the gardener who pleaded and said, please, let's give it another chance. But the reason why the man who planted the fig tree kept coming again and again was because he had an expectation. Similarly, in the story of the talents, when the Lord or the master who gave the gifts to his three servants came back, he called for each of them, and he had an expectation of them that they will come and render account to him, and they will tell him something that will make him happy. He was expecting them to be profitable. That's why he gave what he gave to them. And irrespective of what he gave to them, because one had five talents, one had two, and the other had one, his expectation of all of them was the same. That no matter the quantum of what he had given to them, each one of them, he was expecting that they will be profitable, or they will be fruitful and will be beneficial to him. So ladies and gentlemen, understand this very clearly. If you're going to be profitable unto the master, that he has expectation of you. Don't sit anywhere and say that because I'm not a pastor, God is not expecting anything from me. How wrong you are. If you are a Christian, then he has expectation of you. And there are things that he's expecting you to do. Can I have an amen? Let's move on to the third thing that we must understand in order for us to be profitable unto the master. The third thing is that we can be useful and profitable to the master in different aspects. You must understand that. We can be useful and profitable unto the master in different aspects. It is not just in one thing that God is expecting us to be profitable. Actually, there are different areas, different dimensions, different ways that we can be profitable unto the master. The first one we can talk about is in the area of winning souls and helping to disciple or establish them. That's one of the areas or one aspect that we can be profitable unto the master in. Winning of souls and helping to disciple and establish them. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20 is a scripture that you must be familiar with. This is what is summarized as the Great Commission. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. 18 to 20. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Hallelujah. These two scriptures reveal to us an assignment or a task that God has given to us. It is the task of winning souls. It is the task of discipling and establishing those souls that have been won. So we see the instruction, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That means win souls, and after you've won them, disciple them. What establishes the soul that is won is the teaching of the word of God. And what completes the Great Commission is the winning of the souls and now establishing them through the teaching of God's word to them. And Jesus Christ gave this command before he exited the earth. And this command, this task, this charge has been given to every believer, every child of God, everyone who has received Jesus as Lord and Savior and who professes the name of Christ. In the second scripture, we are described as Christ's ambassadors. We have an assignment to represent him in this life. Now, one of the areas where we must be profitable unto him is in this charge that he has committed to us. We must be profitable in this area and in this aspect. You see, understand this, my friend, that when somebody hires you or employs you to do something for him, you must know what he wants. And you must do what he wants to the best of your ability. That is what will make you profitable unto him. Get that and get that very well. If you are employed by somebody to work in her supermarket, there is a need for you to understand exactly what your boss wants and to do that thing to the best of your ability. That is how you'll be profitable unto him. Sometimes people want to do what they want to do, which is not exactly what the person who hired them is expecting them to do. And they do not understand why their employer is not happy with them, because they feel that I'm working very hard. I'm doing a lot of other things. Why don't you appreciate it? Let me show you Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. This is Jesus speaking. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Then he says, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. Now, how many know that prophesying in the name of the Lord or operating as a prophet is not an easy thing? How many know that it's not an easy thing? Casting out demons. Have you cast out demons before? It's also not an easy thing. Sometimes they will resist you. And there are times when deliverance has to be done in stages. Because there are some stubborn demons. You do, they don't want to go. If you follow them, the church will remain there for the rest of the day. It's not an easy thing to cast out demons. Miracles. How many miracles have the Lord used you to do? Has the Lord used you to do in this life? How many miracles? Have you done any miracles before? But you're supposed to do miracles. Now, it's not an easy thing to prophesy or operate as a prophet, if you like. It's not an easy thing to cast out demons. It is not a common thing to have people performing miracles. And these guys were surprised that the Lord was not happy with them, even though they had done all of these things. This was his response to them. But I will reply, I never knew you. I don't know you. Go away. He says, get away from me. It means go away you. You who break God's laws. But really, I am looking at the part that says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father. That means you do what God wants. That is key to having God happy with us. And that is key to being profitable unto him. Not just doing anything, but doing what he wants. If I employ you to take care of my babies, my children, there are two of them. One is 2 years. The other is 3 years. And I employed you, and I made it clear to you that the reason why I am employing you is to take care of my precious children. Then I come home one day and I find out that you have cleaned the whole house. Everything is clean, well arranged. I go to the kitchen, I go to the hall, everything is perfect. And then I go to look for my children and I find out you've not bathed them. Their diapers are wet. They have put Kolebu powder on their faces and running all over the place. They have not eaten. I cannot be happy with you. You are not profitable to me. You have done other things though. But the main thing, which is what I hired you to do, has not been done. If I'm upset with you, you will say that I'm a wicked boss. So didn't you see that I swept the rooms and I cleaned up and arranged everything? I saw. But you are not profitable to me, because my assessment of your profitability is based on you doing what I employed you to do. And one of the clear things that God has made evident to us that he's expecting us to do is to win souls and to establish them and to disciple them. If I were you, the series I've started on Sundays and even what I'm sharing with you on Wednesdays, I would take it very seriously and trust God for the grace to run with these messages and become useful to the Lord and carry out his work. If I were you, that's what I would do. Because God has an expectation of us. And he's expecting us to be profitable to him. So, to be profitable unto the master, understand that you can be profitable to him in different aspects. One of them is in winning souls and establishing them. Hallelujah, somebody. Another area that you can be profitable to the master in is in being a fruitful or a productive Christian. If we want to be profitable or useful, truly useful to the Lord, then we must become fruitful or productive Christians. Fruitful or productive Christians. John chapter 15, verse 16. So to recap, we are talking about profitable unto the master. I'm sharing with you at this point certain things that you must understand in order to be profitable unto the master. The first one is that you can distinguish between Christians in the area of profitability. There are those who are useful or profitable, and there are those who are not. The second thing is that the master has an expectation of us that we will be profitable and useful to him. And then the third thing that we moved into is that we can be useful and profitable to the master in different aspects. The first of which I just took you through is in the area of winning souls and helping to disciple and establish them. And I made this point that if you want to be profitable to somebody, find out what the person wants you to do and do that thing to the best of your ability. You will end up being profitable to the person. And it's clear that one major assignment that the Lord has given to us is the assignment of winning souls and discipling them. But that's not the only area. That's not the only aspect that we can be profitable to God in. We can also be profitable to him when we become fruitful and productive Christians. John 15, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. You see here, God's expectation of us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And he chose us for a reason. That we will go and produce lasting fruit. That we will bear fruits, and that our fruits will remain. That means that he wants us to be fruitful. And when you are fruitful, you are productive. If I plant a mango tree and it doesn't bear fruits, it is of little use to me. Right behind this church hall, I have planted 3 coconuts. How many? I did not plant them for decoration. I am expecting that in 3 years' time, I should be drinking coconut juice from these coconut trees. How many years? 3 years. So 3 coconuts, 3 years' time, I must be enjoying the juice from them. Woe is unto them if after 3 years, 4 years, I don't see any coconut fruits on it. I shall give an instruction to Efodela, who takes care of the garden behind it. I'm trying to do some small garden there. Do you see? By the time I finish, you know, it will be nice. You can go there, go and take your pictures, and you can do wedding reception there, hopefully. But those trees have to be very careful. When you see the trees, tell them for me that I have an expectation of them. I'm expecting them to be fruitful. If they are not, then time we just clear them out of the way. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God has saved us, and his expectation is that we will be fruitful. Because when we are fruitful, we are profitable unto him. Let's look at some other scriptures. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Talking about the fruit of the Spirit that is revealed in so many different ways. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So this scripture is talking about fruits, which are other fruits. Actually, it's one fruit, you know, but you know, let's just say fruits. These are other fruits that God is expecting us to bear. Then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. From the New King James Version of the Bible, Ephesians 2, verse 10, NKJV. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. These scriptures that I have read are showing us different types of fruits that God is expecting us to bear, which if we do, we will be profitable unto him. Number one, souls. Again, to win souls. When you win souls, you are being profitable. Number two, God is expecting us to produce the fruits of the Spirit. He's expecting us to walk in love, to exhibit joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are fruits that he's expecting us to bear. He hasn't saved us to play the fool and misbehave all around. He's expecting that consistently in our lives, we should be producing these things, which are fruits. And when we produce them, we are being profitable unto him. Hallelujah. Then the third category of fruits that is expecting us to produce are fruits of good works. To do good works. And these good works are manifestations of the fruits of the Spirit. When you have the fruits of the Spirit, you end up bearing fruits of good works. Wherever you are, you do good. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good. He went about doing good. And if he's the one we are following, we must also do good and do good works and bear fruits of good works. So another area that we can be profitable unto the master in is in the area of becoming fruitful or productive Christians. The question that each one of us must ask ourselves is, how fruitful am I? When I look at these three categories of fruits that Pastor just explained to us, am I productive in all those areas? Are there people who through me have come to the Lord and are established in the house of God? Do I have them? Are there signs of the fruits of the Spirit in my life? Do I walk in love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is forgiving. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. We've been Christians for all these years, and we don't walk in love. Gentleness, peace. Why is it that you are always agitated? Always worked out. After having been a Christian all these years, you've not learned to cast your cares unto the Lord and stay at peace. What did he say in Philippians 4:6? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. So God is expecting us to be walking in peace, to be patient, to be gentle, and all the other beautiful things that are spoken about. We need to ask ourselves, am I manifesting these in my life? And then good works. What good works do I actually do? In the house of God, am I doing any good works? In my community, am I doing good works? At my workplace, am I doing good works? Because some of us at our workplaces, we are part of the problem, not part of the solution. The day you become part of the solution at the workplace, then you can say about yourself that I'm actually doing good works here. So, to be profitable unto the master, this is one of the areas we got to look at, becoming fruitful or productive Christians. Another thing we can look at in talking about being profitable unto the master and the different aspects of it, we can determine to make a difference wherever we find ourselves through good deeds. it's related, but I'm taking it separately. Making a difference wherever we find ourselves through good deeds. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Then it goes ahead and says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. So you have churches called hilltop churches. I think we have one close to us. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds, everybody say good deeds. Say it again. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. And when that happens, what is going to happen? So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. We can be profitable unto the Lord through the good deeds that we do. Wherever we find ourselves, we do good deeds. And in this scripture, we are being compared to two important items. Salt, light. Salt and light make a major difference. And that is what God is expecting us to accomplish in this life, to make a major difference. And when we make a major difference, wherever we find ourselves, in your school, in your neighborhood, at your workplace, in your family, his expectation is that we'll be profitable unto him. And through the good deeds that we do, people will give praise unto him. Do people praise God because of you? You didn't hear my question, you see, so I should ask it again. I said, do people praise God because of you, or they curse God? Could it be that because of you, there are some people that don't want to be Christians? Because your head inside is hard. Don't help anybody. You are not kind to anybody. Wicked guy. Wicked. Good deeds. And says we are the salt of the earth. Salt makes a lot of difference. You can have a big pot of groundnut soup that is like a zoo. Every kind of animal day inside. Mention the animals for me. Number one, goat. Number two, salmon. Number three, tuna. Number four, panla. Number five, pig feet. Wele, chicken. Cow feet. I didn't realize that cow feet can actually be nice. Do you know that there's some nice part of cow feet? Yeah, very nice. Then you have other meats like okra, garden eggs. These are all meats. Then you can have fish meat. All of that are inside the soup. As the thing is on the fire and is boiling nicely, the aroma is so great. You even feel that I can buy kenke from the junction and dip it into the air and eat it because the aroma is very nice. Now, the food has dawned. Just a bang. And it is set before you. And with excitement, you dig in. It's with fufu. cocoyam fufu or plantain fufu or a mixture of cassava and plantain. Or kukunte. Wow. You dip in. I know how we do it. Those of you who eat fufu and kukunte with spoon, you are spoiling the arrangement. You are spoiling it. That's not how it's supposed to be eaten. You do your two fingers, then stick it in like scissors. The way trying to say, chop. Then you put it in your mouth. You feel like spitting it out. Why? Salt. It can spoil your meal for you. Because there is no salt in it. Unfortunately, when you get to a certain point, the doctors can tell you don't eat salt because it increases your blood pressure, leads to hypertension and all. Today, I saw an argument on our Presec Old Boys page. Somebody had posted that they said they've done some survey. That is not true. That salt doesn't cause hypertension. And the doctors on the platform are arguing that survey is not the correct one. You know, sometimes in life, we argue about all sorts of things. My policy is that you can eat everything, but eat in moderation. That's the best dieting. What do you think about my theory? If you don't like, it's on to you. But salt, it makes a lot of difference. In life, I was leaving camp, the lights went off. And then now suddenly, have they come back? Your people that too. After midnight or something, when you say to this, say doom something, it's okay, let's not get there. Where was I? The light went off, and suddenly the whole place is dark, and you feel very uncomfortable and restless when it's like that. That's the difference that light makes. Have you realized that when the lights are off, you feel depressed coupled with the heat? Thankfully, the weather hasn't been too bad. You know, it's not as hot as it is during other times of the season. But we are being compared to salt and to light. And God is expecting us to be like that. In other words, He wants us to make a major difference. Just as salt makes the major difference in a soup or in a stew. And just as light makes a major difference. Have you realized that if there's a community and they don't have light, that community is not developed? Once you bring light there, suddenly that community comes alive. And we are supposed to be profitable unto God by making a difference through the good deeds that we do. So if you ask me, Papa Osofo, how can I be profitable unto the Lord? What areas can I be profitable unto the Lord? One of the areas is by making a difference wherever we find ourselves. Your boss should value you greatly. Because when you are profitable, you are valuable. Are you? Where you work, are you valuable there? Do you make a difference there? How is your presence in the company changing things for the better? Your work ethics. The time you get to work, the time you leave work, and even when you are at work, what you do or what you do not do. You are not making a difference. Here, at the restoration center, what difference do you actually make? What can we point to in relation to you and say that your inclusion in this family, it is making such a major difference? I don't think that there should be any member of this church family who will be happy to just come and go without making a difference. And there's a reason why I'm taking you through different aspects or different areas that you can be profitable to God in. It's not only that. There are other things also. Another area. You can be profitable by giving to support the building of God's house and its operations. That means you can help to advance the kingdom of God. You can be profitable unto the master in this area, in the area of giving. giving money, giving resources, etc., to support the building of God's house, the church, and its operations. That means anything that advances the kingdom of God, you can give towards it. It makes you profitable unto the master. And for some people, that is the area, or that is one of the areas, one of the major areas that God is expecting you to, is expecting to see you most profitable in. Because you know that there are some people who have been given a ministry of giving. In Jesus Christ's ministry, he had some women who supported him with their substance. They didn't go to certain places to do things like the way the disciples, the initial 12 and then the 72 did. No. All they did was that everywhere he went, they supported him. They cooked for him to eat. And don't go and stand somewhere and say that the bishop has been saying of late that we should be cooking food for him and be carrying it in a basket and singing songs and coming to put them in front of the altar. I didn't say anything like that. Don't change the message. I'm just explaining to you that you can be profitable unto the master in what you give to support his house, which is the church, building it, and the operations in the church. You can give to support it. You can give money, you can give your resources, so that the kingdom of God can advance. Exodus 35 verse 4 to 5. Exodus 35 verse 4 to 5. Then Moses said to the whole community of Israel, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Let those with generous hearts present the following gifts to the Lord: gold, silver, and bronze." Where is your gold? Where is your silver? Where is your bronze? Or you, there's just copper that you've been presenting. Because when you see people wearing chains, some are gold chains, some are what? Copper, which is not as valuable as gold. Exodus 35, jump to verse 20. To 22. So the whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents after the instruction was given. And he says, all whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, that is the house of God, for the performance of its rituals, its operations, and for the sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. They brought to the Lord their offerings of gold, brooches. Is it brooch or brooch? Brooches. Earrings, rings from their fingers, and necklaces. They presented gold objects of every kind as a special offering to the Lord. Verse 29, so the people of Israel, every man and woman who was eager to help in the work the Lord has given them through Moses, brought their gifts and gave them freely to the Lord. They were profitable. Profitable to the Lord when it came to building his house. They gave. They gave money. They gave resources. And let me say something to you. Two things I want to say to you. Number one, whenever God blesses you with anything, he's expecting you to have his house and his kingdom on your mind. Never ever forget this. When God prospers you and elevates you in this life, he's expecting you to support in a very significant way the advancement of his kingdom and the building of his house. Certainly, enjoy what the Lord has given to you. You and your family, your wife, your children, everybody connected to you must enjoy some. Because you've been blessed to be a blessing. But God is expecting and has an expectation of us that when he prospers us and blesses us and he elevates us, we will remember his kingdom and help to advance it. And may I submit to you that the greatest investment you can make with what God has given you is to advance his kingdom. And you can do that in different ways. Helping to build his house, helping people, helping the deprived, helping the poor people. All these humanitarian things, all these things are part of advancing the kingdom of God. And you must be strategic in your giving. Don't just give for giving's sake. Give so that it will help to advance the kingdom of God. That's why it's not every humanitarian effort that you should be engaged in. Because it's not advancing anything. If I'm taking electricity to a community so that we can preach the gospel to them, it is worth it. I'm not saying that don't do general humanity. That's not what I'm saying. So don't twist what I'm saying. But I'm just explaining to you that whatever God blesses you with, his expectation is that you will channel a significant portion of it into kingdom business. And the people of Israel, when they were leaving Egypt, God granted them favor before their Egyptian masters. Anything they asked them for, they gave it to them. But when God granted them that favor, he had a plan. He knew that a time was going to come where he was going to demand from them what he has given to them to help to build his house. That's why I'm explaining to you that there are blessings that God brings your way, and he has an expectation of you that you will channel those blessings into his kingdom. Of course, I know that there's a lot of exploitation that has gone on in the kingdom of God. So it makes it difficult to talk about these things. And it is true, there have been excesses, and there are still a lot of excesses going on. But the fact that there is the counterfeit doesn't mean that the real and the genuine is not there. Yes, there have been excesses. But it doesn't take away from this reality that God blesses us to support his business and to advance his kingdom. And everything, what God gave to the people of Israel and what they received from the Egyptian masters, he had a plan that there was going to be a time when his house was going to be built and was going to need those things. But the last thing I wanted to point your attention to is that he did not force anybody. You will notice in the scriptures that I read, it says that those whose hearts moved them, those who were eager to help, those who had a generous spirit, it's not everybody who gave. And God, he will never force you to give what you don't want to give. That is why it is wrong to exploit people and then to manipulate them to give and to do it. It is wrong. It is wrong to do that. People must be allowed to give willingly and freely, and they must not be made to feel bad that they are not giving. It's between you and your master. But that's why I'm expecting every child of God and every Christian to get to a point where you tell yourself that one of the greatest investments that I can do with what I have is to direct it into the kingdom of God, because that has eternal rewards. So you can be profitable unto the master in the area of giving. And he's expecting that you will give to support his kingdom and to support the operations of his house. Ladies and gentlemen, the master wants us to be profitable unto him. And I pray that every one of us, these are just a few of the areas. I'm going to continue next week, because I'm taking pains to explain to you that your profitability is not just in one area. There are different areas where God is expecting you to be profitable. And we must strive to be profitable in all those areas so that we can be pleasing unto the master. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today and thank you for your word. We are blessed to have heard today's message. We've gone deeper into how we can be profitable unto you. Father, may we not waste our lives. May we not waste our opportunities. May we not waste the blessings that you've given to us. May we not waste the things you've invested in us. but may we determine that all that you've given to us,
we will direct them
into serving you, into advancing your kingdom, into building your house. Help us, O God, to be fruitful and to be productive in our knowledge of you. Help us to do good works and to make a major difference wherever we find ourselves through good deeds, that people may praise you when they see how we conduct ourselves. Holy Spirit, help our infirmities. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.